Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And wake up, America. It's Thursday, October 27th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app this morning. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories in the news here on this Thursday morning?
Well, John, less than 2 weeks to go to the midterm elections, 12 days to be precise. A lot of folks talking about U.S. Senate races. The Senate looking to be up for grabs right now with that razor-thin 50-50 margin right now. Democrats with the tie-breaking vote on things in terms of a pure majority with Vice President Harris able to cast that vote. So any swing in one seat, two seats makes a big deal. A couple very close races being watched. Of course, Pennsylvania, that debate the other night between former TV doctor Mehmet Oz and John Fetterman, lieutenant governor. They're running for that open Senate seat. Folks still talking about that. And Mr. Fetterman suffering a stroke last spring and how he handled himself during the debate is one being carefully watched, as well as in Georgia, where Herschel Walker is running against Raphael Warnock. And Walker is facing now second charges, which he denies of providing funds for an abortion back in the 90s now.
Yes, Herschel Walker, the former Heisman Trophy winner, former NFL running back, vehemently denies the second allegation. He says it is a flat-out lie. And, you know, all I can think of is it kind of reminds me of the situation that happened with Brett Kavanaugh a few years ago. You know, allegations coming out of the woodwork and people coming up with the anonymous allegations. And so he maintains that he's innocent, that it is not true.
Yeah, things get ugly with some high-stakes elections here, a couple of races that could determine which way the Senate goes.
Well, with only 12 days to go, everything is being analyzed and dissected. And, you know, a lot of people are giving their perspectives. All the pundits are in full swing these days.
Yeah, they are. And just encouraging folks to read and listen to a lot of things to try and decipher the truth amidst all of it.
Absolutely. And I think that for a Catholic perspective, if you go to Catholic Vote, the Catholic Vote .com website, there's a lot of great resources there, you know, so you can vote from a Catholic and a spiritual perspective. It's a really, really good website.
Yeah. Be informed, get informed, and vote. Folks don't agree, Democrat or Republican, necessarily. They don't all agree on pumpkin spice either, John. I know when we talked about this early in the pumpkin spice season, you were kind of in favor of some pumpkin spice coffee, but maybe you'd like the job a California woman has. She's been tasked with the job to try all the pumpkin things. Laura Kleiman is a pumpkin lover from Sacramento, and she has the pumpkin spice pundit position to taste all of Trader Joe's pumpkin-flavored fare. So now that we're this close to Halloween, what are the thoughts? You guys still on board with pumpkin spice or getting a little tired of it?
I think if you started in the pumpkin spice when we originally talked about it, you're probably out of the pumpkin spice season personally. But since I did not partake in any of that, I'm ready for some pumpkin spice because it's actually pumpkin season now. So bring it on.
Well, here we go with our top five treats, guys. The pumpkin breakfast and snack bars, the pumpkin cranberry crisps, gluten-free pumpkin bread and muffin mix, pumpkin brioche twist, and the top spot, spicy pumpkin samosas.
I don't know about that one, but the number two and three seem pretty intriguing. I might be checking out some Trader Joe's later today.
Wow. The last time we talked about this a while back, I actually tried the pumpkin spice coffee. And I think with all due respect, I'll stick to my regular Colombian stuff.
Well, you're partial to that Colombian stuff, John, so that's going to be a hard one to top. But yeah, pumpkin spice is the name of the game this time of year. So it's interesting to see what products are going to be out and how well they go. Because, you know, also, too, this time of season, you get a lot of that holiday cereal, that blueberry and all that kind of stuff that's just out for the season. So that they ramp that up because you only can get it for a little bit.
All right, more pumpkin spice news next hour. As always, thanks, Glenn and Sarah.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every morning in prayer. First things first, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. The Apostle St. Paul writes, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The Apostle St. Paul echoes the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who told his disciples in a parable that they should always pray and not lose heart. Prayer is powerful, as we have heard so many times by my good friend Drew Mariani. The Lord wants us to pray to Him, to thank the Lord from our heart. It could be something as simple as just praying the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You can also pray through the intercession of the Mother of God. Pray the Holy Rosary, something that we do here at Relevant Radio every night with the Family Rosary across America. Pray it every day if you can. And always remember to pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, with only 12 days left before the midterms, the people of California have a big decision this year. California voters will decide whether to ratify Proposition 1, an extreme constitutional amendment that would enshrine a permanent right to abortion without any limits at taxpayer expense for any reason, even for women from other states and up to moments just before birth. Now, keep in mind that more than 80% of California voters oppose extreme late-term abortions. Listen to this video from the No Prop 1 campaign.
California is facing one crisis after another. Rampant wildfires, out-of-control housing costs, and one of the worst physician shortages in the country. We need to solve the problems faced by all Californians, not Prop 1 politicians who are grandstanding to impress the few. California state law already protects abortion. So why are we being asked to devote millions of dollars toward funding late-term abortions in our state's overwhelmed healthcare system? We don't need to waste our tax dollars on a problem that simply doesn't exist. We don't want late-term abortions in California. Say no to this extreme, expensive, and unnecessary ballot measure. Vote no on Prop 1, November 8th.
Joining us from Los Angeles is Morning Air contributor Astrid Bennett Gutierrez with much more on Prop 1. Astrid is a national pro-life activist and speaker working in the Hispanic community to save the unborn and train leaders to end abortion. She's also the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. Good morning, my sister Astrid. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. It's great to be here. I am so glad we're covering this extremely urgent matter, which is asking our Catholic brothers and sisters, everyone of goodwill, to oppose Proposition 1. If you live in California, those who are outside, please contact your relatives in California to vote no and pray for us. Pray and sacrifice what you can, because this could affect the rest of the nation.
Absolutely. Can you explain for our listeners that may not be familiar exactly with what this is, Proposition 1, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Proposition 1 was put forth by abortion activist legislators in California. It would enshrine the explicit right to abortion in our state constitution here in California, setting a nationwide precedent. It's the most egregious expansion of abortion this country has ever seen. And, you know, people of life and anyone who believes in science and logic and knows abortion takes the life of an innocent human being in the womb. It's a grave moral evil. And this year, California voters are faced with Proposition 1. And basically, it would keep abortion law in our state as it is. So to vote for it would not change. In fact, Roe versus Wade being reversed, it didn't change our law here in California. So it really is, if you will, unnecessary. But what it would do is it would permanently expand and vastly increase abortions in our state. And it would do nothing, John, to help vulnerable women, pregnant women in need, to give them a real choice, you know, in terms of, you know, caring for their children or, you know, choosing to make an adoption plan. So this really is something that should be of concern for everyone in our state. If you're an abortion supporter, it's not needed. And if you are somebody who believes in life, which we should all protect life, then we need to do everything to stop this. And thankfully, the bishops in California have been very active in promoting a no vote on Prop 1 and are encouraging parishes to proclaim from the pulpits, educate parishioners on voting no on Prop 1.
Astrid, according to the No Prop 1 campaign, more than 80% of California voters oppose extreme late-term abortion. So the question is, why is it even in play?
Yes, exactly. Tragically, John, California already has some of the most permissive abortion policies in our country. Our law here in California allows abortion for any reason up to viability, which is around 24 weeks of pregnancy. And it allows late-term abortion to, quote-unquote, protect the life or health of the mother. So in reality, it is not needed. And the Roe versus Wade reversal did not affect it. So this year, you know, legislators, we know in light of the Dobbs decision, reversing Roe versus Wade, our governor and abortion legislators vowed to make California an abortion sanctuary state where women from other places, pro-life states in particular, can come to have free taxpayer-funded abortions. So basically, Prop 1 is inspired by that proclamation to make California an abortion sanctuary state. And they made good on that promise by, sadly, introducing 20 bills to expand access to abortion and allocating $200 million in the state budget to pay for abortions for women and those seeking abortion from out of state.
We're joined this morning by Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, the president of the VITA Initiative and the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. Astrid, there's been a ton of money that's been poured into California. I understand that it's been somewhere around $13 million more than the pro-life movement has been investing in this. That is a lot of money. Where are we as we speak with 12 days to go?
Well, it's been so heartening to see our faith leaders, in particular the bishops, encouraging the no vote on Prop 1. I've seen a lot of activity, education, and just people on social media with the tools that were provided, which can be found at the California Conference of Catholic Bishops site, cacalifornia.org. You can find talking points, videos, things that you can share. Make sure that every parish in California is, taking advantage, you know, this weekend and the following weekend to promote this no on Prop 1. Way too much is at stake. Another thing to understand is, you know, this is going to be an amendment to our constitution here in California, making abortion rights permanent and making it difficult, if not impossible, to pass pro-life laws here in California, laws that limit abortion, laws that protect women's well-being. I mean, it's going to be so difficult if Prop 1 passes. So it is absolutely imperative that everyone get involved, including those out of state. Encourage your California friends and family to vote no. And also, you know, educate on what could be coming down the pike in other states. California, sadly, has been championing abortion rights, and our legislators, sadly, many are abortion activists. Clearly, they're putting this as a priority, which we know that the state is supposed to serve the public. It's supposed to protect the public, not kill the public. And this is what happens in abortion. It's a taking of an innocent human life. And we have abortions here up to the day of birth. And now with new bills, they want to expand it even further after birth to allow the killing without any kind of consequence of even newborn children. So please pray for us, those who are listening. Educate everyone in your family, including your young people, on what abortion is. Live Action has put forth tremendous tools, in particular a series of videos that shows what abortion does to a child, explained by OBGYN physicians. It is at whatisabortion.com. So go to whatisabortion.com. Show everyone you know what an abortion is so that it becomes real and so we care about the unborn child. And go to cacalifornia.org to get more information, to get tools to share with parishioners. This comes from our California Conference of Bishops, so that all of us do all we can on social media, at our churches, with our friends and family, to encourage a no vote on Prop 1.
Astrid, with the No Prop 1 campaign and the bishops and Live Action and so many other pro-life groups, do you have a sense that we are within striking distance of a big surprise on November 8th?
I think so. I think we are going to be so glad that we made every effort, that we prayed, that we sacrificed. There is a campaign to pray the rosary every day leading to the elections. You can find the information on cacalifornia.org. Join this campaign. The Holy Rosary is a very powerful weapon against evil. We've seen that throughout history. So please pray with us. And I always, I'm a bit skeptical of polls that I see on mainstream media, John, because sometimes they're skewed to try to favor one particular vote. I say just work as much as we can, be grateful for the opportunities we have in our own churches to promote the no vote on Prop 1, which is allowed, which is permissible. It is legal to do so. So do not be scared to do that. If you have any doubts, just go to the official California Bishop site, where they very prominently are encouraging a no vote on Prop 1. Please pray. Please do all you can. It's very easy now with social media to get the word out. I would say try to do that. And there's even videos put forth in every language. We need to also educate our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, because the media in Spanish, mainstream media, is extremely deceptive. And pro-life people are understanding something completely different about Prop 1. So people of faith who are with the truth, we need to clarify the issue. This is the greatest expansion of abortion our nation has ever seen. It's starting here in California. We have to stop it, because it could set a nationwide precedent. And this is terrible news for the unborn child.
Absolutely. It could spread like a virus, because the rest of the country, other states, are watching what goes on in California.
Absolutely. And California, sadly, has been a pioneer, you know, in abortion. And we know that abortion is something that is, you know, the abortion industry is highly unregulated. And I've worked for 23 years with women who are facing difficult pregnancy situations. And I'm telling you, John, women are coerced, pressured, shamed into abortion. This is not something that they celebrate or that they're championing, or, you know, going into an abortion center celebrating their right. Many women are going into abortion centers, dragging their heart and their soul into that place, thinking it's the only option. So as people of faith, while we work to defeat Prop 1, we're also working to make sure women know about all the help available, the pro-life physicians, pro-life clinics, all the wonderful life-affirming choices that are available to them. So the pro-life movement is working hard, and this is a very important thing that we need to do to stop Prop 1, because a lot of money will be poured into expanding abortion. But we're also here for the women that are facing a terrible situation, feeling alone, feeling scared or pressured into making this terrible choice. We want to be there for them. And I got to tell you, John, I see day to day with my colleagues so many women that are grateful that they did not go through with an abortion, and they're glad they found help. And that's why we're so grateful to our 40 Days for Life volunteers, everyone working for life. Thank you so much, and thank you for praying, and thank you for praying for us in particular here in California, that we're facing this situation of just all these abortion expansion bills, and in particular now Prop 1. But Prop 1, John, is in our hands. We can vote November 8th. We can vote to defeat it. So that's why everyone needs to put this as the highest priority from now to November 8th. Promote the no vote on Prop 1.
Again, the websites that you recommend where people can go and learn more about Prop 1.
Yes, the California Conference of Bishops has prominently placed tools and information, talking points on Prop 1 that can be used by individuals, parishes. It is cacalifornia.org. That is the Conference of Catholic Bishops website. And I also recommend that you educate others on what abortion is, what it does to a child, in a wonderful website put together by Live Action called whatisabortion.com, where physicians explain in a very professional way exactly what happens in an abortion. That way we're not lied to. Young people are being lied to about what abortion is. We have these wonderful tools to educate, enlighten, and save lives.
Well, Astrid, I so much appreciate you taking the time to bring us up to speed on this so important Proposition 1 in California. Vote no on Prop 1, and appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Thank you, John. God bless.
Many blessings to you. Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic attorney Mary Rice Hassan with the Ethics and Public Policy Center will join us from Washington, D.C. to discuss President Biden condemning states banning sex changes on kids. Stay with us, especially you parents. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this.
This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Say goodbye. Goodbye to the enemy's lies. Goodbye to the fear inside. Say goodbye. Goodbye to the shame you hide. Goodbye.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I want to remind you that in the upcoming month of November, we remember the holy souls in purgatory, our family and friends who have passed from this earthly life. Join us November 2nd through the 10th as we pray a special novena for your departed loved ones during daily Mass at noon Central, the Chapel of Divine Mercy with Drew Mariani at 3 Central, and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Central. Go to relevantradio.com/souls to submit your list of up to 20 departed loved ones who need your prayers. When you submit the names of souls to be prayed for, you'll also receive reflections from our very own Father Rocky each day of the novena to help you enter more deeply into prayer. So add the names of your loved ones. Do it this morning at relevantradio.com/souls. A number if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, in an interview with a controversial transgender activist, President Biden recently condemned states for restricting sex change procedures on children. In the segment aired by progressive news outlet Now This News, Mr. Biden spoke with social media influencer Dylan Mulvaney.
Do you think states should have a right to ban gender-affirming health care?
I don't think any state or anybody should have the right to do that. As a moral question and as a legal question. I just think it's wrong. And I think that it's really important that we continue to speak out about the basic fundamental rights of all human beings. And the idea that what's going on, you know, in some states, I won't get into the politics of it, but in some states, it's outrageous. And I think it's immoral. The trans part's not immoral. What they're trying to do to trans persons is immoral.
Joining us live from our nation's capital is attorney Mary Rice Hassan for much more perspective on this important issue. Mary is a Kate O'Byrne Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., where she directs the Person and Identity Project, which equips Catholics and Catholic institutions to promote the Catholic vision of the person and counter gender ideology. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us. It is really good to be with you this morning.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to be here.
Mary, first of all, Dylan Mulvaney, this 25-year-old San Diego native that has gone viral on TikTok for documenting his transition from being male into what he calls girlhood. Love to get your take and also if you can tell us more about this person.
Yeah, so Dylan, people need to realize, in spite of appearance, is a male. And he has chosen to pursue celebrity, if you will, by presenting himself as a female in a way that parodies and mocks females and highlights typical stereotypes related to women. So his TikTok persona show is, as you mentioned, is called Days of Girlhood, but he puts on these outfits and he expresses what he obviously considers attitudes essential to being female, shopping, talking with friends, et cetera, very superficial things. It's a parody. It's demeaning and insulting to women. So he's not a woman, and he's mocking women in a way that we as a society have condemned the idea of blackface. He is doing the same thing in terms of putting on a female persona and mocking it and parroting it. So he's a person pursuing celebrity and at the expense of women.
Mary,
not the type of person should have been in the Oval Office interviewing the president, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really shocking. I think that's the best way to look at it. I mean, you look at his photo. I mean, it looks like something out of like a Halloween costume. It's so mm-hmm. over the top. And yet this fella is interviewing the president of the United States, which leads us to our Catholic president's comments. That we just heard part of those comments to Mulvaney. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it is unfortunately a case of perhaps mutual exploitation there. Dylan was taking advantage of this opportunity to advance his own celebrity. The administration, unfortunately, because it has doubled down on this idea of promoting transgender identity, which is a lie. It's a false belief system that the person can somehow be other than the male or female that you're created to be from the moment of conception. The administration is exploiting him as well to push their views. So they're treating this male who's dressed and presenting himself as a female as if he represents womanhood. And then the president goes on to say, reaffirm the idea that it's, quote, immoral to resist or have laws that don't permit transitioning, particularly of children. That's really where the laws that have been arising across the country regarding trans issues, for the most part, concern whether minors should undergo medicalized gender transition, which can sterilize them by the age of 13 or 14, can involve the removal of their breasts, their reproductive organs. So it's not a trivial or laughing matter. And yet here, the administration uses this kind of comic figure who's seeking celebrity to really push for a very serious point that is itself advocating for immoral behaviors and immoral actions by just exploiting children and sterilizing them and harming them, all to advance a political objective.
It's just so hard to understand how our president can have that perspective and call these gender procedures moral. He thinks that they are moral. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the real morality from a Catholic perspective of these gender procedures?
Sure. And I'd encourage people to watch a new series that I just debuted on EWTN. It's called The Transgender Movement: What Catholics Need to Know. And it's a 5-part series. It's also available on demand, but it covers everything from the medical aspects to the cultural and theological and pastoral care aspects of this issue. But in a nutshell, what people need to know is, one, our sex is given, it's received, and it cannot change. From the moment of conception, we are male or female, and we can't change it. So all this idea of gender transition does is it alters a person's appearance and it destroys the natural functioning of a healthy human body. It doesn't somehow give you the functioning body of the opposite sex. It can't do that. These procedures can't do that. As someone I heard recently said, you can't create a woman in the operating room. God creates women. God creates us male or female, and you just can't change it. So these procedures are being pushed on children at younger and younger ages because children are being encouraged to, quote, explore and express identities that are incompatible with the truth about who they are. In other words, they're given sexual identity. And then these procedures are being pushed on children. And once a kid gets on this gender-affirming pathway, it's very hard to get off. So we've seen that from some of the studies coming out of Europe, where you have 97 to 100% of kids who start on the puberty blockers going on to the cross-sex hormones. Same thing there. Once they're on the cross-sex hormones, they tend to either persist in that or to pursue further treatments such as surgery. So it's really serious stuff.
Mary, you're doing great work educating so many folks with the Person and Identity Project. Can you tell us a little bit about that work and your main objective?
Sure. With some colleagues, Susan Silner-Wright, who's with St. John Vianney Seminary up in Denver, and Teresa Farnan, who is part of our project as well, also a former seminary professor, and some collaborating doctors and physicians, we have created a project that has a website, but also offers training and talks to dioceses, schools, parent groups, putting forward the positive vision of the human person, because that's what's under attack here. And that's, we see that clearly in the statements of Pope Benedict and Pope Francis. But so putting forth what used to be implicit in the culture, but now needs to be made explicit. There is a truth about who we are. And then equipping parents, schools, dioceses, clergy to counter gender ideology. In other words, understand what it is that the people sitting in the pews or in your classrooms are absorbing from the culture, and how these false beliefs are going to undermine catechesis and make them resistant to the church's beautiful teaching on the person, sexual morality, identity, family, and just Christian anthropology. So I encourage people to go personidentity.com and just see what's there. There's a lot on offer because we have to start talking about this. And I'm grateful for the chance to be on your program for that reason, because, you know, the culture is talking about it constantly and putting out these false beliefs. And so the church has to have an answer. We do have an answer, but we have to be bold enough to speak up. And that's hard in today's culture.
It's really kind of mind-boggling when you think about it. You know, 10 years ago, this was not mainstream. Nobody was talking about this the way they are today. And yet, because of the mainstream media, which seems to be in cahoots with our current administration, they're trying to make it normal. They're trying to make it like, hey, this is just what everybody does.
Yeah, exactly. And part of the reason is philosophical, because one of the tangled philosophical roots of all this is queer theory, which literally wants to dismantle and destroy the idea that some things are natural, that there is a human nature, that it's natural for males and females to be drawn to one another and to sexually come together. And so it really attempts to destroy the family, religion, especially to the extent that it's upholding these traditional values. So it's a concerted effort to destroy all things that are beautiful and good, that reflect the goodness of God.
No doubt about it. I want to invite our listeners, if you'd like to join our conversation with attorney Mary Rice Hassan, fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, on President Biden condemning states banning sex changes on kids and anything related to this gender ideology. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us about it, if you're a parent and you're concerned, I would love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Mary Rice Hassan. Stay with us. There is more to come after this.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149. This is Morning Air. Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
It's too late to turn back now.
And I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we continue our conversation, our very important discussion about President Biden condemning states banning sex changes on kids as well as gender ideology. We're talking this morning with attorney Mary Rice Hassan, the director of the Person and Identity Project. Mary, can you give us your thoughts on some of the confusion that is out there these days about gender ideology and these gender so-called procedures? God made us man and woman for a reason. Can you explain, again, from a Catholic perspective, what is God's perfect plan?
One of the beautiful things about our Catholic faith is that reason and faith align. And so we know from Scripture God created us male and female, and we can see in science that this is just a fact of our existence. But the term sex actually refers to the organization of our bodies. It's a whole body term. We're organized for a particular reproductive role, either as male or female, large gamete, small gamete. You either gestate or you generate. And this is something that can't change. Once you're created that way, it can't change. But the big lie, the false belief that's being promoted through schools, and especially through social media and entertainment to our children, is that who they are is not a gift from God, but rather they get to self-determine who they are, regardless of the truth of their body, and that feelings can override reality, and that they can simply feel a particular way, and by expressing it, announcing it, they can make it true. So a child is encouraged that if they feel like they don't fit in with stereotypical notions of what a girl should like or a boy should like, they're told, well, that must be a sign that you're really born in the wrong body, which is a nonsensical concept from a scientific standpoint. You can't have a girl brain and a boy body. You are male or female. But this is confusing to kids. So kids who feel like they don't fit in or they don't like their body when it starts to change as they get close to puberty, or they have underlying issues. They're depressed, they're anxious, they're struggling with peers. They're looking for an explanation for those difficult feelings. And so the culture offers this big lie that all of these things, anything that makes you uncomfortable, you can fix this by simply declaring a different identity. And once you do that, you receive this cultural affirmation. You get the applause of your peers. You get accommodations in the public school. And unfortunately, it's a promise that never delivers. You cannot change sex. So what it does is it just draws a child or a young adult down a path where they are encouraged to keep pursuing this change, this promise. And so they take hormones, they may have surgery, really barbaric surgeries that can leave them sterilized with lifelong health problems. And yet at the end of it all, it doesn't resolve any mental health difficulties they have, and instead leaves them sterile or with these very serious health complications. So, you know, one of the things I say to Catholics, who we always want to lead with compassion and love, but it's not loving to encourage a person to go down a path that's just going to lead to permanent harm and prevents them from really addressing and resolving those underlying mental health struggles or personal issues. So it masks the problem and sets them on a path towards additional problems. That's not compassionate and loving to reinforce that decision or to facilitate someone down that path. So just in a nutshell, that's the problem with gender transitions. It's a promise that never delivers. It's a lie.
If you want to be part of our conversation with attorney Mary Rice Hassan, a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, we began talking about President Biden's comments condemning states banning sex changes on kids. And we're asking you to share your thoughts on this issue of transgender rights. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. In fact, Linda is joining us this morning from Phoenix, Arizona. Linda, welcome to Morning Air.
Yes, I thank you so much for speaking out on the truth, because to me, trans is divisive in a family. It is child abuse when they do and take them to that place. And in fact, for older people that have it occur in their elderly years, like my child was 32, to me, it's an adult abuse. And in my family, when he chose to communicate with only those who affirm him and use his pronouns only, it has hurt me deeply as a mother. Because these children, these adults, they need to get help to get through the hurts or confusion that they need to resolve. It is, like you say, not loving to reinforce or help someone down that path.
Oh, and my heart goes out to you, because the pain that you experience and this alienation that occurs is unfortunately being felt by so many families, because this does drive a wedge among people within a family, because the person who's struggling with identity often finds a cheerleading section online or in certain groups. They may be in person groups that will tell them that if someone does not affirm your belief that you can really transition and become someone different, this repudiation of your sexual identity as male and female, you need to cut that person out of your life. That person doesn't really love you. And so that tends to be part of the problem. You get division and you get alienation, and there's tremendous pain. But I urge you to just continue to pray, to reach out to support to groups like Encourage, the Ministry of Families associated with Courage International, because I have seen miracles happen. Because so often people who start down this path realize eventually that they haven't found that peace and happiness that they want. And in fact, there can be a lot of regret and realizing, oh my gosh, I've alienated those who truly love me. And that cheerleading section that was there in the beginning telling me to go down this path is nowhere to be found when I really need help. So my heart goes out to you. I encourage you to continue to pray, reach out to support for or for support to other families and to groups like Encourage. If you go to our website, personandidentity.com, and click the resources button, we have information about support groups and ways to find that spiritual nourishment to keep your faith and to be able to persevere in loving in a very difficult situation.
Hang in there, Linda. Thank you so much, and keep praying. We go to Jody, who's joining us from Wisconsin. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Mary Rice Hansen.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I'm a mental health provider. Well, first of all, everything about this is so disturbing and upsetting. And with children, let children be children. But then also when people are thinking and considering this, let's explore, get curious about what else is going on for them. What wounds do they have that they haven't addressed before considering something like this? There could be so many other reasons. And I think I have a couple clients that had bariatric surgery. They did not receive proper psychological assessment before they received that, which is a much lesser physical, surgical procedure or surgical changes. And they really regret that. I've had people who've had a breast reduction. I get people make their good choices for that. Those are, if the back pain, whatever. But still, they have a really difficult, a lot of psychological hardships afterwards. They've regretted those surgeries. And now we're talking about surgical procedures to change your gender. And I just think there's not enough exploration, not enough of psychological assessment beforehand.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. And in fact, there's really good data coming out of Australia and places in Europe that highlight the fact that 88% of people who go down this gender transition path already have depression, anxiety, ADHD, they're on the autism spectrum. In other words, they have things going on. They have oftentimes have attachment difficulties and serious wounds, as you rightly point out, that need to be addressed first, because you can't fix interior wound with surgery. And a good friend, Deacon Patrick Lappert, who's a plastic surgeon and oftentimes deals with people who are desiring to transition and things like that, says it's a common phenomenon in something like plastic surgery. People are struggling emotionally and believe or come to believe that if they can just fix the nose or the ears or something they don't like about themselves, it's going to resolve these other issues. And it won't. So it just, in effect, delays and distracts from addressing and healing those very real issues.
Jody, I really appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Mary, we've run out of time, but again, thank you so much for your knowledge, your expertise, and for your perspective. This is such an important issue for any parent across our nation.
Thank you so much. And personandidentity.com, I encourage people to check out the resources there. And thank you again for addressing this and for all the great work that you do.
Thanks to you. Mary Rice Hansen, the director of the Person and Identity Project. You can find it at personandidentity.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called What Do You Need to Unload? By Richard Lee Holbert. Every year, about 1,500 thru-hikers set out to walk the entire Appalachian Trail in a single season. Only 10% complete the 2,160 miles of challenging terrain stretching from Georgia to Maine. One reason some people drop out early is they haven't learned to travel light. A friend of mine launched his thru-hike carrying a seriously overloaded backpack. He had a cassette player and 6 tapes of bird calls, an air pistol to keep the varmints away, a camera, a radio, an alarm clock. If it ran on batteries, he said, I had one in my pack. At his first stop, an experienced hiker helped him to go through his pack and decide what to keep and what to send home. Each item was placed on a gram scale with the question, is it worth it? Do you want to carry this for the next 2,000 miles? My friend discovered that his biggest problem was an accumulation of little things. Most of his extra weight was in ounces, not pounds. He didn't need half of what was in his first aid kit nor the extra tube of toothpaste. His heavy multi-tool knife was replaced with one weighing only an ounce. A metal knife and fork spoon set gave way to a single plastic spoon. He sent home 26 pounds of unnecessary weight. How many of us are trying to walk the trail of faith in Christ weighed down by an accumulation of little things? Anger, bitterness, worry, envy, jealousy, lust, selfishness. Instead of enjoying the beauty of life with Jesus, we complain about how hard it is to follow him. Psalm 32 is for everyone who's ready to shed the weight of sin and regain the joy of walking with the Lord. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Thanks so much, Glenn, as always. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, will talk about the quiet epidemic of loneliness. And our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will tell us all about St. Jude, the saint of the impossible. So stay with us, America. There's much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.